There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it. There you go. With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 1038, April 8th, 2024, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say three in a row for GP2 engine on home ground. Crash fest continues for Williams. Stroll to roll big bucks. And we begin from the beginning. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, Clark, sir.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Max domination will begin to pressure Liberty. Yuki-san did what he needed to do, and it was impressive. Danny boy is all washed up. Please give the keys to Liam. LCH probably should have taken the year off, a sabbatical, just like other world champions have done in the past, to refresh the je ne sais quoi, if you know what I'm saying. And quickly, just a reminder, folks, that we do need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. And I do want to remind everybody, this week we have the Rafa report on the Japanese Grand Prix. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you. I am, I would say, 90% recovered from my jet lag. So hopefully within a day or two, I can sleep at night. But life goes on. Sun is coming up every day. Motor racing is beautiful, and Lewis Hamilton walked out of a press conference when he was asked if he is jealous of Ferrari's speed, which really reminded me of a question a journalist asked Michael Schumacher when he came back with Mercedes, and Mercedes had this big shindig in Stuttgart, where they are based out of, and with all these hundreds of people and executives from Daimler Benz and celebrities. Mika Hakkinen was there. Michael Schumacher was asked if he's going to win races again like he did in the past by crashing. And of course, you know, there was the Adelaide situation, the Jerez situation, and you can throw in the parking situation in Monaco, but that still leaves 88 Grand Prix wins. That still leaves that dramatic debut at Spa in a green car. That still leaves the unbelievable performance that you have to watch to believe it in Spain in the rain when he got his first win for Ferrari. I understand people have the freedom of speech and the right to ask anything they want, but there is time and place for everything, and I don't think that question was in good taste. And you may disagree with me, unless it was asked of somebody else. What say you?
Well, it's interesting that you mention that, because after this wonderful Japanese Grand Prix, which was a little predictable and maybe a tiny bit let down for people that are close to the Pope, so I decided to watch another Grand Prix, the 20th anniversary, sort of, almost. But I decided to watch the entire, I watched practice, FP1, FP2, and in those days I watched the 2005 Imola Grand Prix, or I should say San Marino Grand Prix, on Speed TV, Bob Varsha, Steve Matchett. I watched the entire thing, and this was 2005 when all of a sudden Ferrari is not winning. People are questioning him, and people were going up to Schumacher and going, are you going to win again? Is something going wrong at Ferrari? What's happening? And you could tell he was uncomfortable with the questions. And the biggest problem was a new young whippersnapper of 22 years of age causing trouble. So it was great to watch the entire weekend. It was a great Grand Prix. That strange two-stage qualifying format, but I watched that as well. It was very interesting. Kimi Raikkonen taking pole, but of course having reliability issues. But it was a great, great thing to watch, and to watch the strange questions up against Michael Schumacher when he's in an awkward place. And I don't like it either, Nasser. To keep it short, I think it's distasteful and wrong.
Wow. We're starting off with agreement. That's, very good. Now, the other thing is, while Lewis Hamilton walked out of a press conference, another driver from the Japanese Grand Prix maybe walked away or be asked to leave the room, and that is hard to believe, the man who went 3-0 against Sebastian Vettel when Sebastian Vettel was the biggest thing, and that is Mr. Daniel Ricciardo. You think he will survive the season?
I don't. He might, because everybody's a pretty nice person at Toro Rosso or whatever it's called, Cash Red Bull. No, I mean, Yuki has out-qualified him with authority. Yuki has done what he needs to do, whereas Ricciardo has not done what he needed to do. We've got Liam hanging out. We have all these new, young, fresh, motivated drivers. Let's go. Ricciardo has plenty of side stuff to do, including wine, haute couture in Australia.
Yeah, and just like Jenson Button, he has a house in California. He's got a nice life going. So I will be surprised if he survives the season. And I say this because of the track record of Red Bull Junior program, even though he's a senior now. Dr. Marco is a equal opportunity slasher. So I'll be surprised. So we'll see how it goes. Okay, sir, we have a lot to talk today. So shall we go into quali? Q1, Alonso 2nd, teammate My Boy Lollipop 16th. Other items in the Why Am I Not Surprised folder. Hülkenberg in, teammate K-Mag out in Q1. Albon in, teammate Sargent again missing the beat and crashing in free practice. Fastest man in Q1, who can it be now? His Q1 time was faster than his pole time in 2023. Last year, Max was on pole by half a second from Piastri. As a zinger or wasabi of the day, I would like to remind all, Suzuka is the Honda-owned track where their GP2 engine made its infamous debut. Paging Mr. Zach and Mac the Knife, who's sorry now? Someone who was not sorry in Q2 was LCH. He was third, only 0.147 seconds behind Mad Max. Checo was only 0.012 seconds behind his teammate. Close, but no Havana cigar or barbecue iguana in Tijuana. Both cars from Ferrari, Mercedes and McLaren, plus the usual suspect, machismo and domestic terror, Tsunoda made it through the night and into Q3. Pole position, it was so close by 0.066, but Max stays on top of his teammate. The score in qualifying so far this season, 4-0 in Max's favor. Pole number 36, showing Yoss who the real boss is. This is the first time since LCH in 2015 that a driver has taken pole position for the first four races. 27th front row lockout for the fizzy drinks company. Third fastest was Lando Norris, 0.292 second behind Max, followed by Sainz, Alonso, Piastri, LCH, he was 0.589 seconds slower than Max. So dishes are done again for Mercedes, but he was ahead of his teammate GR, and 10th was Yuki. Question of the day was asked by Jean Alesi in the post-qualifying interviews. He asked Checo if he ate a lion for breakfast. I think Checo has new motivation. Your thoughts on quali, Clarkson?
Absolutely. Very disappointed with Charles Leclerc. He could not get his act together, and he admitted it. I mean, he could tell that I don't know. Maybe the sushi was bad. You never know. But he couldn't put it together. I was disappointed with Ferrari. I thought for sure that they were going to be the competition, and they ended up being the competition. They are the closest thing to Red Bull there is, and we know it. So you have to look at the big picture. George Russell and Lewis Hamilton, I thought they did the best they can. You could tell they're just hoping to be in the top five, and they just can't make it. And the McLaren as well, they qualify great, but I think Ferrari really disappointed me in qualifying. And of course, Max did what Max does. And I'm glad that Perez is right there. So I think Perez has kicked up his game a little bit, and it's showing.
Yeah, and Leclerc, you know, a couple of things on this issue. Maybe the jealousy question should be asked of him, that he was the numero uno, now somebody else is coming. But, you know, I was thinking how he must be feeling, because it, to me, it's like a situation, you know, if a lady is married to her husband for 30, 40 years, and one day he comes home with Anna Nicole Smith, you know your days are numbered. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. It's a little interesting. This is where psychology, and you really have to be mentally so tough in Formula One. He has got to get over this mentally.
Yes. Okay, sir. So as far as the race is concerned, did you like Suzuka being so early in the season? I was used to Suzuka being late in the season. Or did this not bother you?
It did not bother me. I enjoyed it, especially since they were still on that same time wavelength with Australia. So I thought it was fine. It's a little cooler in April because they can get hot in the summer in Japan and humid. So I thought it was a good idea for everybody, including viewers and, of course, the head honchos at Liberty. We don't want them to suffer.
Oh, I don't think they are suffering. That's for sure. Okay, sir. Highlights of the race were Red Bull and Red Flag. Well, before the opening lap was over, Danny Boy and Albon played Let's Get Physical and end up in the Wall of Voodoo. Looks like Smiling Assassin is slaying his own career at Williams. Albon and Sargent are taking turns in crashing and giving team principal James Vowles more pain in his bowel. Now, would you like to blame one driver more than the other, or do you think it was a racing incident?
We took out two people that really didn't need to be in the race in the first place. Let me put it that way, because, and what's going on with not enough parts in Formula One? So I'm watching this wonderful VHS cassette of the 2005 San Marino Grand Prix from Speed, and then they take a break, and here comes one of my favorite shows. You remember this, Nasser? It was called Formula One Decade. And they went back a decade, and they went to the 1995 Monaco Grand Prix, which, on the first lap, was red flagged. I don't know if you remember, but all your buddies crashing into each other, Schumacher got away. He was in the Benetton, fine job. And, of course, this is 95, so he's running the Renault V10s. But John Zalesi is furious. And the best part? Everybody's got spare cars. They're all running back to the pits for their spare cars. Loved it. Ferrari had two spare cars. I miss those days, Nasser.
Two spare cars, both for Michael Schumacher? Oh, he was not for Ferrari at that time.
No, that was, it was still Berger and your buddy José Lizzi.
Yes, they needed to have two cars with these two drivers. But, you know, in a Formula One or any race, most of the time, if somebody is racing and they red flag and do a standing start, which they did on Sunday, it gives a very good chance and a high probability that man on pole will lose out. But rinse and repeat for Red Bull riders at the restart, Max. And, you know, once Max, when was the last time you saw Max on the track passed by his teammate? Has that ever happened?
I don't think so. And I laugh at these restarts because it was another restart. It was perfect. Max, there is no stopping this man. I mean, the worst part is the car is very, very good. He will win all the races this season until there's a reliability issue. But no, it's fascinating. I mean, the guy is very, he repeats very well.
Oh, yes. And you know what was interesting? I'm sure it's different from track to track when DRS is enabled, but top five after first full racing lap, Max, Checo, Lando, Carlito, and Ochismo. DRS enabled on lap five, but as expected, Checo's teammate was already a second ahead. And I think even if Checo had passed him with the help of seconds ahead of his teammate, and Checo was 3 seconds ahead of third place guy. Now, I have a question for you. George Russell and LCH, are they just like bitter sour grapes now this season?
Oh, for sure. And it's just going to get worse. I mean, LCH is putting on a brave face and he's trying to be super polite and handling it. But that's why I said at the beginning of the show, he probably should have taken a year off, just like Fernando or Kimi Raikkonen, and maybe do the truck series. You know, he's really loved in America, but he should have left and then come back, because this is going to become much more awkward, especially when they tell him you cannot go in the meetings anymore for any technical secrets. So, I don't know, Nasser, because he is a sensitive guy, you know, I don't know. He might not be as machismo.
Yeah, but I have to say, he is still the most impressive driver when they come to the track, and his dress is just like always a surprise, a pleasant surprise. Did you see what he was wearing? Any comment on that?
It's just awesome, you know? He's the Mick Jagger of the paddock.
There you go. Okay, now at this time, he was a solid eighth ahead of his teammate, and the hardest working man in Formula One was 10th. And of course, we're talking about Lance Stroll. And you know, Toto Wolff was not going to go to the Japanese Grand Prix, but he was interviewed and he says he came to show his support and, you know, help the morale of the team and this and that. But I think somebody needs to pump up his own morale. He doesn't look like the Toto Wolff of 2020 or 2019. What say you?
Well, there are two Totos now. You know, it's like BC and AD. Well, now it's pre-Massey and post-Massey.
So he's PM.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it reminds me, I was thinking early this morning, you know, I'm a huge Mario Andretti fan. He was voted as driver of the century at the turn of the century by American racing media, very rightly so, as one Pikes Peak, Daytona, you know, anything and everything. And when he kept going in IndyCar racing in his 50s, you know, obviously, younger generation, whippersnappers had caught up. He was struggling against Nigel Mansell, and it was very painful to see that tremendous, successful heroes of the sport suffering like that. And I saw that with Graham Hill also when I started following in 73. At that time, around that time, had his own Embassy Hill Lola and running at the back. And it's very disappointing to see LCH in a quagmire he's in. And so is his teammate from 2007. I can't remember his name right now. But these people deserve much, much better, a better package. But that's the way it goes. Lando is told box on lap 12. That put his teammate Oscar Piastri into top 5. And Piastri came into the pits one lap later. I was kind of surprised these pit stop coming in so quickly. How about you, sir?
Very surprised. I was just going, they showed the pit stop window, I believe, starting around lap 13 or 14. And they were pitting on lap 11, so I'm just going, hey, I'm a Michelin guy, so I understand.
Well, were you impressed how trifle polite Lewis was when he asked the team on lap 14, shall I let George pass?
I mean, it was almost like he was talking about his butler, who happens to be named George. You know, should I let him pass? Yeah, you know, I'm just, what? What happened to the deep, deep competition and hatred of such orders?
Yes, I think the second line was lost either in translation or it was small fine print, and that was, what do I care? You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, I will not, to be honest with you, if this thing continues, I will not be surprised if Lewis walks out, or maybe by mutual consent, does not finish the season with Mercedes. Maybe they can put in last four or five races, Kimi Antonelli. I mean, what has Lewis got to lose? I mean, he's not here for ninth or tenth, you know.
I totally agree with that. I actually believe that he should call in sick just to see what they do. I mean, do they go with, who's our test driver?
Mick Schumacher, I think.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I'm surprised. I'm hoping that Lewis does things like that to see who they put in there, because really, we know they're not going to win the championship. Come on, it's time to do a little experimentation.
Yes. And you know, you remember the 2000, some of us do, the 2016 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. They say in a song, breaking up is hard to do, but that day, backing up your teammate to the wolves was not so hard for LCH. And you remember even, what's his name, the guy who's left the team, he was at Paddy Lowe. Even Lewis was given instructions to pick up pace. He would not, then Paddy Lowe got on the radio and says, you need to pick up the pace. That's an order. Do you remember that? Now, Max in the pits on lap 17, four laps later, he's back in front by prancing ahead of Leclerc's Ferrari, who had yet to pit. And the commentators were saying that there was a chance that Charles Leclerc was going to win this race because of his pit strategy. And I'm like, you know, that is, as long as there are 10 to 15 laps remaining and Max Verstappen is within 4 or 5 seconds, nobody's going to win the race. It's simple as that. LCH in the pits on lap 24 of 53. Leclerc and Lando in on lap 27. With 20 laps to go, top 5 were Max, Checo, Carlito, Machismo and Piastri, but all had to stop again. Piastri is the first to stop from this group on lap 33. Lap 35, Max comes in back on top on lap 37. When Sainz pits, this puts Checo Perez second, Leclerc third, and top five completed by Norris and Russell. And you know, speaking of Russell, he's changed his hairstyle. Even he looks to me, you know, when he first came at Mercedes, it was pretty obvious that he is in town to be the new sheriff. But even he looks like his feathers have been ruffled by the ghost of W13. Let's put it this way. What say you?
It's possible. I'm not sure. He's a bit of a pretty boy. And he hasn't been around the muddy hogs in the back of the farm. So I don't know. Well, George is pumped up because he knows he'll be number one in 2025, sort of.
Toto might do a Ferrari on him and bring in Machismo. Man, that will be something. And I would really like to see him at Mercedes for 1 year.
I don't see that happening, but it would be fun because Machismo can finally teach George a few of his tricks.
Yes, that will be nice. Now, at this stage, local lad Yuki in the points in 10th at... And I was really hoping, as much as I don't like his antics, but I wanted to see him in the points at his home Grand Prix. Not so much for him, but for his fans there, you know, who are very disciplined, by the way. Okay, lap 40, car 44 brought in for medium tires, and he comes out in 9th. So sad. And here was a shocker. Sargeant goes off track and is able to keep going. After a pit stop, he was last man running, 38 seconds behind LP of Pierre Gasly. Sargeant, do you think we'll see him next season?
Let's hope not. I mean, just for Vol's mental stability.
Yeah, but you know, when millions and millions of dollars are coming into the bank account, it eases the pain.
Well, let me tell you one thing. He's not there next year. And even the American investors are going to say, wait a minute, whoa, Wilbur.
I would be very surprised if he is. Anyway, lap 46, Carlito says ciao ciao to Charles to get on podium. And that was interesting, you know. This thing people do in Formula One and Junior, and I hear from a lot of people, oh, they're favoring this guy, they're favoring that guy because of this. And here is a guy whom they have told, you know, given him walking papers, and they tell him, the team tell him, you are racing for position. So they did not show any favoritism. And the same thing goes for Mercedes. You know, when George won a race in Brazil, that could have kept the Lewis Hamilton winning streak alive each season. But the team did not tell him to slow down, just so Sir Hamilton could get another one. So I like that. Some tremendous dicing in the closing stages between George and Piastri. And after a little mistake by the McLaren driver, George passed him on the final lap. That was machismo. Did you like that, sir?
I did like that, but it's interesting how George is always trying to get something done at the end of these races. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm happy for George. He's getting a lot of exercise on these last laps. Unfortunately, fortunately for George, Piastri didn't know all the extracurricular activities you can do on the track like Fernando.
And, you know, speaking of George, in the press conference before the race, he was asked if he had patched things up with Fernando Alonso after what happened in Australia. And George responded by saying, you know, I ran into him at a coffee shop in London, and Max said, did you brake test him? So Max has a funny and a winning bone. That's good. Okay, sir, up front it was business as usual. Max winning by 12.5 seconds from his teammate. Four races, four pole position, one DNF, three wins. That's the max a driver can do. Max also set the fastest lap for extra point. Now, sir, this is my deep wish. Hopefully it will happen if it don't happen at Suzuka. Since the race was at Suzuka, I was hoping Max would scream after taking the checkered flag, F1 engine, ah! This has to come this season, you know. Would you enjoy that?
I would enjoy that, and Max is a humorous guy, and we know that he has time to do stuff like that in the last lap, lots of time, so you never know. Maybe somebody could suggest it, you know, a little antics on the last lap for fun, humorous competition.
Yes. Now, this is victory number 57, 20 more races to go, which basically means he will reach 70-plus wins by Abu Dhabi in December. At this rate, he may even pass Michael Schumacher's number of 91 wins by the end of next season. The turning point, this is very important, Mr. Rogers, the turning point will come in the 2026 season. I have a feeling, and this is a feeling, not a wish, that in 2026, he will be wearing Lewis's racing boots from the 2022 season, and Toto will be asking him and Christian, have you driven a Ford lately? Let's hope Red Bull's 2026 season does not blow up like a Pinto.
Meet the Pinto. Just born. Ford's Pinto is priced like a small economy import, but it's frisky, with a wider stance than any little import, so you won't be pushed around by the wind. And Pinto's strong, built to run and run and run. Pinto, a little better idea at your Ford dealer.
Checo was second. This is the first time in the history of Formula One that the two teams have taken the top two spots in the first four races. Ferrari in Australia and Red Bull in the other three races. Definitely more to come from Red Bull. And sir, you know, people complain about Uber domination, one driver is winning. See, it's all these things that are happening that we are able to see in just one lifetime. I don't know about you, but I'm not coming back. So I feel very privileged that having followed Formula One for 73, we've seen the Fittipaldis, the Stewarts, the Sennas, the Schumacher, the Machismo, Max, LCH, Turbo, and all, you know, night race in Singapore. Who would have thought we're doing a race in Baku now? I think, tell me if you agree with me or disagree. I think Checo did a good job, and Christian Horner was also very happy based on his message to Checo on the cool down lap. What say you about his performance, sir?
I agree. Checo, as we've had 1-2 finishes, this is what Christian Horner was trying to get out of Checo. Just drive the car. You're not going to win a world championship when your teammate is Max Verstappen. It's not going to happen. You just have to move along. You can win a championship in Mexico in the Mexican NASCAR series. But for now, number two is perfect. You finish number two, and you'll get a nice in-flight burrito.
There you go. When you have a teammate like Max, you need to be on the Christopher Cross program. Remember his big hit? When you get caught up between the best driver and the best car, the best you can do is fall in love with second place and enjoy it. Definitely no shame in that when you're up against Max and Senna and people like that. In Melbourne, Checo was in the Australian Outback and finished fifth. In the other three races, he has been on the second step of the podium. Not bad for Numero Dos. If he keeps this performance up, I don't think he will be taken down by the smiling assassin, who has his own issues. Carlos Sainz Jr. is like Holly, who came from Miami FLA. Everybody's darling in the back room and green room and on the podium. Not surprisingly, he was voted driver of the day by race fans. Did you agree with that, sir?
Yes, I did. Absolutely. I thought it was very good. I think Carlito is the machismo now. And you know, a lot of people are saying he should replace Fernando at Aston Martin. There's so much chit-chat out there that it's almost deafening, but there's some funky ideas.
Yes, and I still remember when he first came to Ferrari, when Charles was the new darling, he had a very impressive first season. So it's very good to see him do well. And he has won three races now. So he definitely qualifies as mini machismo of Viva España. And a nice kid, you know. I first met him when he was in Formula BMW. And my first impression was that very well brought up and polite kid, and obviously I've not seen him since he's been in Formula 1, but we interviewed him in his Formula 3 days, and even then he was very classy, just like his Papito. Third place at Suzuka was his third podium of the season. He missed the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix because of appendicitis operation. Teammate Leclerc was fourth. Listening to him on the team radio, you get the impression that he and the team agree on one thing for sure, and that is agree to disagree. If Leclerc, who I rate as a top-line driver, thinks he has a problem with the team now, he's got a nice surprise coming next season when the number on the other car changes from 55 to 44. Monsieur Frédéric Vasseur, your fellow Français, he was the team owner of ART Grand Prix when Lewis Hamilton won the GP2 championship with his team in his rookie 2006 GP2 season. And now, Mr. Rogers, with all due respect, with a chip on my shoulder, I say underline the word rookie. It comes in handy when talking about Hamilton and somebody else. Freddie is alive and well, and he is not bringing LCH to be sponsored by Chiquita and be a second banana to Leclerc. In 2025, if Ferrari has the Amazon Prime package, I am sure both Lewis and Leclerc will deliver. Time will tell who will slip under pressure. Many are wondering if Ferrari is keeping the wrong Charles. Now, many times, Leclerc has not been cool hand Luke due to the team's strategy. Now, my favorite is when the team told Charles in Monaco some years ago to pit, when he was already in the pit lane, and then they told him to stay out. This poor guy is constantly saying to the team, come on, guys. What do you make of his predicament now?
You know, it's a tough predicament. When he signed with Ferrari, he felt he was number one. They made him feel like he was number one. But things change, and until you get results and wins, things will always change because everybody's looking for that edge. All Leclerc has to do is outperform Carlito, and next year outperform Lewis Hamilton.
He signed a long-term contract with the Red Team. Max signed a long-term contract with Red Bull. Amazing how things have turned out for these two very young and very talented drivers. As they say, be careful what you wish for just might come true. Moving on, sir, Lando Norris was fifth. He is one happy chappy in the company of Zak Brown and McLaren, and he is also someone who has signed a long-term contract with the team. He qualified third on the grid, but was never a threat to the Red Bull dominance. He has scored points in all four races so far, and Melbourne was his only podium. Now, all rise as we come to Machismo Alonso. Last year, he was a regular visitor to the podium in the early part of the season, and you remember how excited everybody was? The best he could do on his favorite circuit, and this is not a zinger, that's his favorite circuit, according to himself. He was sixth. Like Lando, Nando has scored points in each race so far, but no podium yet. One thing he's doing for sure is making his teammate look like Canadian Mist, leading one journalist to say it's time for Lawrence to take Lance for a stroll in the park and ask if he should buy him a team in the World Endurance Championship. He doesn't have to buy him a team. He can buy the whole championship, you know. The F1 experiment has definitely failed for Daddy's little Jim Clark. If you can't keep up with the old man of the sea, Daddy can help you from not drowning in your own sorrow. George Russell, after a feisty drive in the closing laps, which resulted in pushing Piastri off the track and then passing him on the final lap, he came in 7th, his only top 5 finish so far this season, has been in the season opener in Bahrain. Now we come to the other papaya car, Oscar Piastri. Mr. Webber's new mark of excellence in Bruno Fermin's My Little Runaway was 8th. Piastri has been very consistent. He was also 8th in the season opener and finished 4th in Saudi Arabia and Australia. Now, sir, here's one of your favorite songs from Diana Ross, Good Morning Heartache. The final line is, might as well get used to knowing you, sit down. That's how Lewis Hamilton must be feeling about the team. He famously said, my team don't make mistakes. He was 9th in Nihon. Lewis Hamilton, question I will ask you, Mr. Rogers, will he get number 8 before Nando gets number 3?
None of these guys are getting another championship. Let's just hope they get a win. Folks, championships are a lot harder to get, and you usually get them with a dominant car, and it takes a while to get a dominant car.
Oh, yes. Delighting the Geisha dolls and local race fan Yuki Tsunoda took the final point from his 10th place for, correct me if I'm wrong, the car is called Visa Cash App RV. That's a mouthful, I have to say. Anything else you want to say, sir, on the race, what you like, what you did not like, and before we go into the championship standings?
Well, it was a dominant win by Max and Red Bull. I'm glad for both of them. And Carlito getting to the podium, I thought that was a good ride. I'm still stuck on 2005 San Marino Grand Prix. I'm telling you, that drive from Schumacher, he made a mistake, and he qualified 13th. And that drive back to the front of the spear, up behind Fernando Alonso, was just tremendous to watch. It was much more exciting than this year's Japanese Grand Prix, I'm telling you. So I'm really glad I have VHS player that still works. It's awesome. And another name I'm going to pull out of a hat, I'm sure you remember this show. It was called Wind Tunnel with Dave Despain.
Of course.
Yep, he was in there too, all in that little cassette. It was awesome.
You know what I remember so well about the 2005 San Marino Grand Prix is that race, for whatever reason, was not televised live. And in the old days, you can go to Formula One website and, you know, somebody would be typing. And when there were 4 or 5 laps remaining and they were saying, you know, Michael Schumacher all over him, looking right, looking left, I was just expecting Michael to take the lead and win the race, but that did not happen. But it must be said, before Machismo took over, the race was well under control in the hands of Kimi Raikkonen, and his car broke down, and his car also broke down, I think it was the next race, which was the Spanish Grand Prix, and it broke down when he was leading, that is Kimi Raikkonen. Machismo won that race also, I believe, and that's where Kimi Raikkonen lost the world championship. But, you know, it's all part of history. But thanks for bringing up 2005 San Marino Grand Prix. And, sir, speaking of San Marino Grand Prix, at F1 Weekly, we dream bigs, you know, because we do have the budget to dream bigs. What is happening here, as you know, courtesy to F1 Weekly and Monsieur Rogers, we have media credentials for the Monaco Historic and the San Marino Grand Prix, which is now called Emilia Romagna Maiden Italy Grand Prix or something like that. That is 1 week after that. And I'm in touch with somebody, and I am very, this gentleman is asking me to come to Le Mans, which is in June. I don't know if I can do another 30 day out of US trip, but I am very much leaning on doing the San Marino Grand Prix. You know, I was there in 2004, and this is 2024, and we all know what happened there in 1994. So it's kind of a remembrance, memories. And it's a Ferrari museum. It's not too far from there. They have the best spaghetti. Did you know that in Italy?
Yeah, ask Leclerc.
Yes, exactly. Or Niki Lauda. Well, he's gone. Okay, so shall we do the driver championship now?
Yes, why don't we do that so we could take a break and get some of that beautiful San Pellegrino.
Okay, Max leading with 77 points. His teammate is second with 64 points. Monsieur Leclerc third with 59. His teammate Sainz Jr. is fourth with 55 points, which is also the number of his car. Completing the top five is Lando Norris with 37 points. Hard to believe you would say something like this top five and you don't hear names like Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso. Seven drivers have not scored any points. They include both drivers from Williams, Albon and Logan, both drivers from Kick Sauber, Guan Yu Zhou and Valtteri Bottas, both drivers from Alpine, but they are working on an L plan. Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly and Visa Cash App RP driver Daniel Ricciardo. And as I said earlier, I will not be surprised if his card is deactivated by Dr. Marco anytime during the season and he may issue a new charge card in the name of Liam Lawson. Constructors' Championship, Red Bull on top with 141 points, Ferrari second, 120, McLaren Mercedes third with 69 points, Mercedes fourth with 34 points. And this is of interest to you, sir, I'm sure. Fifth is Aston Martin with 33 points. Score here is Alonso 24, Stroll 9. And of course, three teams, you can tell by the drivers, have not scored any points. Williams, Kick Sauber, and Alpine. So, sir, we should take a Aquafina break here. And then we come back with points to ponder.
Thank you, Nasser. So we'll be back after these brief messages.
Okay, this first interview is a young French driver. And he is doing a good job and has been very successful in junior Formula. Now he is with the ART team, which is co-owned by Mr. Nicolas Tord, Bambino Jean Tord. And I saw him race at Mugello this year in April. And that's where this conversation took place. And his uncle, Lucien Bianchi, was the winner of the, I believe it was the 1968 Le Mans 24-hour race. And this interview was arranged by his manager, Mr. Olivier Mayenhu, who is from France, is now based in Switzerland. And Olivier and I have been business associate for a few years, and I want to thank him for his time. And Olivier will be here in San Francisco in August, so I will hook up with him and... So thanks to Julien Bianchi and Olivier Menou for their time, and I hope listeners enjoy the conversation, le conversation.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining F1Weekly.com.
Okay, I'm here in Mugello with Jules Bianchi, and Jules, you finished third in the race, is that correct?
Yeah.
Congratulations. First question for you, you are from a racing family. Your grandfather Mauro was three times champion in GT class, and your uncle Lucien was a Le Mans winner. How old were you when you decided to become a professional racing driver?
I was 10 years old, because I was driving a lot of karting. So with my father, we decided to do it.
Did you get any, were the family supportive of your efforts, or did they try to talk you not going into racing?
No, they support me a lot.
Okay. In karting, you were Asia-Pacific champion in 2005, French champion in 2006. And also did very well in Italian and European championships. How is the level of competition in different parts of the world?
It was all the time very good, because in karting everybody can be fast and it's more close the time, you know.
Have you ever raced in the United States? We do our program from US.
I don't know yet. No, never.
Okay. What are some of your best memories from your karting days?
It's my victory in Asia, in Suzuka.
Any other memories or races that stand out?
Yeah, the World Championship in Braga in 2005, because I started last and I finished fourth.
Now, most of the drivers these days come from karting. Can a person become a good racing driver without going through karting?
I think it's possible, but with karting you can get a lot of experience, so it's very good for get a good driver.
What is the most important thing you learned in karting that you now use in motor racing?
To be ready for professional and to think about all the little things you can do to improve your driving.
Last year you were French Formula Renault champion with 5 wins. Which victory was the best and why?
Was Barcelona, because I really like this track.
Nicolas Todd is now guiding your career. How did you connect with him? How and when?
He contacted me 2 years ago, and we signed a contract 1.5 years ago.
What was the biggest difference you felt in driving when you moved from karting to Formula Renault and from Formula Renault to F3 Euro Series?
The difference from karting and Formula Renault is totally different for me, because it's not the same driving. You have to, in cars you have to think about your driving, and in karting you just drive. And in Formula 3 it's same like Formula Renault. It's not very different.
Is there a big difference between the car and the handling of Formula 3 and a Formula Renault car?
It's more, no, it's quite same.
What goals, what would you like to win or achieve this year?
I want to do all my best. I will do all my best to improve all the time my driving and to be better and better.
Who do you see as your main competitors among the rookies this year? And you are also a rookie in this series this year, right? So who do you think would be the main competitor for being Rookie of the Year?
I think Mika Maki is very fast, so we will see.
How is the relationship between drivers? You know, in F1 nobody talks to each other. Do the drivers in this series talk to each other? Is the atmosphere friendly?
Yes and no. With some driver, yes, and with some other, no.
Can we hear some names where you have friends with and some drivers are not friendly?
I am friend with John Lancaster and all my teammates, but after I cannot say.
Okay, your favorite track and city that racing has taken you? You've been to quite a few places in this world. What track do you like and what city?
I like Mugello.
Looking forward to next year, what is the game plan for 2009?
I don't know. I have to make a good championship this year, and we will think about the future after.
Okay. Felipe Massa is also managed by Nicolas Todd. Has he given you any racing tips or invited you over for pasta?
Yeah, one time in Paul Ricard, I go to see him and he was very friendly.
And you already told me you have never been to the US, but do you follow American racing scene like IndyCars or Le NASCAR?
Yeah, I look sometimes.
Who's your favorite in American racing?
I don't...
Danica Patrick?
Sorry?
Danica Patrick?
Danica Patrick.
She's your favorite? Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, good. Finally, how about a message for our listeners? And we have listeners in France also. So if you could say a few words in French also, I will appreciate.
Je pas compris.
Anything you want to say to the listeners? Tell them about your website and, you know, anything you want to say. Nice things, you know.
Yeah. If you want to know it, to know me better, you can go on my website. It's.
And your website address is?
Is Jules. -bianchi.com.
Thank you very much. Thank
you. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with the king, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And since there was no Formula 2 or Formula 3 at Suzuka, we will continue with some reportage on the Japanese Grand Prix with points to ponder. Max has now led over 3,000 laps, fourth on the all-time list. Many more to come. Last Japanese driver to score points in home Grand Prix was Kamui Kobayashi in 2012, when he was on the podium in third for Sauber. 2024 Japanese Grand Prix was the 1,105th Formula One Championship Grand Prix since that wonderful Saturday at Silverstone in 1950. Most wins at Suzuka, Schumacher 6, three drivers now have 4 each, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen. And the attendance figure for the weekend was 229,000. Two drivers, both from McLaren, won all their championships at Suzuka, and I'm very pleased to say I was able to watch all of these on live TV. Ayrton Senna in 1988, 90 and 91, Mika Hakkinen in 1998 and 1999. Next time around, Max will hang him high in Shanghai. Which brings me to your favorite question. Any predictions for a Chinese Grand Prix?
People are already complaining they stuck a sprint race on a race that we haven't been to in, I think, 4 years, 5 years. So I think that's sort of strange because then there's only one practice before we have to do the sprint race or the qualifying for the sprint race. And I haven't looked at the schedule, but I'm sure it's going to confuse the holy crap out of me. I don't know. We haven't, like I said, I just hope there's not too much smog. The track is actually pretty exciting and technical, so I do like that. We'll see what happens, but hey, I know what's going to happen. There's going to be rain. Fernando's going to win.
Yes, just like he won the 2005 San Marino Grand Prix, right? Yeah. And, you know, I thought they made some changes to how they do the qualifying, which is, I think, last time they did was pretty decent. So let's see how it works out. And I think the winner will come from Red Bull. I'm just not sure. It's very hard to decide who will win between Checo and Max. Maybe you can help me.
Well, the funny part is, with the sprint races, do we need to give Max more opportunities to win? Especially when we have a 24-race schedule here. So I'm with the drivers on this. I think we've gone too far with some of these sprint races, but I'll just keep it all in my gut.
Nothing we can do, the little people, Clark. Powers that be will do what they want. But you know, what I'm interested in seeing with Liberty Media buying MotoGP commercial rights also, I will not be surprised if they put a US Grand Prix and a MotoGP together on the same weekend. That will be fantastic. And it can happen in Austin, Texas. Okay, sir, Stroll to Roll Big Bucks. Daddy's quest to get his son into Formula One has turned him into Victor Kayem of car racing. He bought a Formula One team. Now he needs magic man of motorsports to give his son the unfair advantage. According to many media reports, Lawrence of Canada has made a humongous offer which will allow Adrian Newey to give Christian Horner a parting gift. As we all know, Christian is married into music, and he will certainly enjoy a Johnny Paycheck CD.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left, took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it.
Now we present our new segment, From the Beginning. For that, we invite Ms. Rafaela to the Palatial Studios.
Hello, everyone. This is Hafa, and welcome to the very first episode of From the Beginning. And today, we're going to talk about the sun rises on the Japanese Grand Prix. So, downpour of success and a disappointment. A look at the first Formula One race in Japan. No maiden Grand Prix had such a dramatic appearance on the Formula One calendar as the 1976 Japanese Grand Prix at Fuji Speedway. The track opened in December 1965, and Jim Clark was invited to take part in a Formula 3 race. In October 1966, Fuji 200 was held for IndyCars. Jack Stewart was the winner, with Albuquerque's finest Bobby Unser second. By the early 1970s, Japanese motor industry was beginning to make an impact in the global market. It was only a matter of time before the globe-trotting Formula One circus arrived in Japan. That moment came on October 24, 1976, as the season finale. Niki Lauda's hope of a second successive championship had almost crashed out in flames during the German Grand Prix. Lauda, Ferrari's first world champions since John Surtees in 1964, had started the season on a high note. He was on the podium in the first seven races, winning four of them. On the other hand, his playboy friend and fierce rival on the track, James Hunt, had four DNFs and one controversial win in the Spanish Grand Prix. Lauda, after a remarkable recovery, had scored points in his comeback race at Monza by finishing fourth. When the championship contenders arrived in Japan for the season finale, Lauda still had a three-point lead over the McLaren driver. Heavy rainfall over the Mount Fujiyama delayed the start of the race by several hours. The show must go on. In Bernie speak, we had commercial contracts. Mario Andretti started from pole position and took victory driving a Lotus. His first win since his maiden F1 win in South Africa 1971. On the second lap of the race, he came into the pits because of a dangerous track condition, saying, "My life is worth more than a title." James Hunt was third man on the podium and was pleasantly surprised when told by the team he was the new world champion. As expected, he celebrated championship glory with a party like it's 1999. I hope you enjoyed the first edition of From the Beginning. I'll be back for the Miami Grand Prix.
Rafa, the check's in the mail. Nasser?
And thank you very much for your contribution. Much appreciated. And sir, we stay in Japan and look back at Formula One Grand Prix races at Suzuka. This is a great track, favorite for many, many drivers. Michael Schumacher has the most win in the Japanese Grand Prix. In 1995, he won with Benetton, powered by your favorite Renault, and five times in a Ferrari, which included three in a row from 2000 to 2002. Do you remember when his engine was done blowed up and Alonso passed him, pumping his fist in the air?
I do. Excitement. Competition!
Exactly. Michael also won the two Formula One races in Japan, which were held at the Aida Circuit in 1994 and 95. I think they were called the Pacific Grand Prix, and both were won with Benetton. Today that circuit is called Okiyama. Among the current drivers on the grid, winners of the Japanese Grand Prix include Fernando Alonso, Valtteri Bottas, Lewis Hamilton, and of course Sunday's winner Max. A surprise winner here was one-hit wonder from Siena, Italy, Alessandro Nannini. His day of days came in 1989 when Senna was disqualified for cutting the chicane after his argy-bargy with Prost. And we all know what happened here in 1990 between AS and AP. The first championship Grand Prix at Suzuka was in 1987 and won by the Ferrari of Gerhard Berger. Now we come to some Simply Physico and Senna getting punchy with Eddie Irvine after his first Formula One race in 1993. And sir, finally on this issue, Suzuka was designed by Dutch man John Hugenholz as a test track for Mr. Soichiro Honda, who was very passionate about racing and building reliable cars. There you have it, folks. As Mr. Presley would say, memories sweetened through the ages like wine. Now, sir, more news item, revolving door at McLaren, short-term stay at McLaren. David Sanchez, who was hired from Ferrari 3 months ago as technical director, has left the building. Shortly after his hiring, Rob Marshall was brought in from Red Bull in a similar role, and that created a Monisha Kaltenborn situation. One role, two players. In typical corporate fashion, a lovey-dovey press release was sent out, and Senor Sanchez is hopeful of finding another role in Formula One soon. And sir, I would like to give a shout out to member of F1 Weekly Familia in Steel Town, which would be Pittsburgh, PA, Mr. Doug Ketlack. He had mentioned to me about the Pittsburgh Vintage Festival, which takes place in July. Now that I have time on hand, I would like to attend this year, if possible. So Doug, if you are going, please let me know, and we shall start the day with breakfast in America at Bob Evans. Okay, sir, now we call this is of much interest to me, of course. Famous last words. These are taken from a book called The Formula by Joshua Robinson and Jonathan Clegg. I think it's a new publication. Toto, without going to Africa, goes apeshit on Michael Massey in this book. He said, and I quote, "He is a totally unimportant person. He lives on the other side of the world and nobody is interested in him. He really was an utter pathological egomaniac."
Toto?
Yes.
It's called a motor race, okay?
Any comments on this, Senor?
It's pretty out there. I mean, I think Toto should not keep that kind of bitterness inside. He needs to go see a priest and get some kind of exorcism going and get that all off his bosom.
Toto?
Yes.
It's called a motor race, okay?
Okay, so now we come to Musical Mondial. Today we have a special treat. The sound of Ayrton Senna's McLaren Honda from qualifying at Suzuka in 1989. Thank you for listening. Till next time we meet in Palatial Studios. Sayonara.